Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites WalletHub and OnThisDay.com. Question number one. What percent of Americans make a New Year's resolution? Is it A, just over 25%, B, just under 50%, C, about 75%, or D, virtually everyone? American New Year's resolutions. What percent is that anyway? And question number two, it was on this very day, back in which year, that Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians played Auld Lang Syne as a New Year's Eve song for the very first time? Was it A, back in 1915, B, 1929, C, 1940, or D, 1958? Auld Lang Syne. When was that first one anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of the 30th of December. Well, it was 23 years ago today, 1999, that George Harrison and his wife were attacked in their home during a robbery. Though Harrison was stabbed in the chest four times, he and his wife were able to subdue the assailant until police arrived. 1999 today. And it was on this very day, back in 1764, you may remember, that Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart played for the royal family at Versailles in France. The Mozart concert at Versailles, January 1st, 1764. And passings in music, 2022. All I can do is keep on telling you I want you. I want you. I need you. I need you. But there ain't no way I'm ever gonna love you. Now don't be sad.
Don't be sad.
'Cause two out of three. Meatloaf's Two Out of Three Ain't Bad introduces our passings in music for 2022. This was compiled by Ed Funkhauser and presented here in chronological order, starting with Meatloaf, also known for his song, I'd Do Anything for Love. He died on January the 20th, 2022. Howard Hessman, Dr. J, Dr. Johnny Fever, from WKRP in Cincinnati, died on January 29th this last year. Joni Jones, 50s pop singer, including Why Don't You Believe in Me, died on February the 20th, 2022. Sally Kellerman, Hot Lips Houlihan from MASH, died on February 24th, 2022. Warner Mack, country legend, The Bridge Washed Out, died on March the 1st, 2022. C.W. McCall, country singer known for Convoy, passed away on April the 1st, 2022. Naomi Judd, Winona Judd's mom, known for Mama, He's Crazy, passed away on April the 30th. Mickey Gilley, known for Don't the Girls Get Prettier at Closing Time, died on May the 7th. Jim Seals of Seals and Crofts, known for Summer Breeze, died on June the 6th, 2022. Judith Durham of The Seekers, known for Georgie Girl, died August the 5th, 2022. Olivia Newton-John, known for I Honestly Love You, passed away on August the 8th. Lamont Dozier, who co-wrote The Supreme Stop in the Name of Love, on August the 8th. Jerry Allison, drummer for Buddy Holly and the Crickets, he wrote Peggy Sue, died on August 22nd. Ramsey Lewis, jazz artist known for such hits as The In Crowd, died on September 12th. Loretta Lynn, coal miner's daughter, writer and singer, died on October 4th, 2022. Jerry Lee Lewis, known for A Whole Lot of Shaking Going On, passed away October 28th. Irene Cara, actor and singer of musical film Fame, died on November 25th, 2022. And Christine McVie, Fleetwood Mac, singer, writer, keyboardist, died on November 30th, 2022. Mickey Guyton's Better Than You Left Me introduces our country music news. It's titled Mickey Guyton, Breakthrough of the Year. This is written by Andrew R. Chow, published in Time magazine on the 26th of December, 2022. This year, the country singer Mickey Guyton represented America on its biggest stages, belting out the national anthem at the Super Bowl and hosting PBS's July 4th celebration from the Capitol lawn. She also became the first black nominee for Best Country Album at the Grammys in awards history. But Guyton faced plenty of resistance to her music being played on country radio, to conversations she tried to hold about race with industry leaders, to the representational gains that seemed to vanish 2 years after the racial reckoning in the summer of 2020. I am seeing it very much going back to your regularly scheduled programming, and that's something I'm scared about, she says. Guyton opened up to Time magazine about her year of growth and frustration. When you walked into SoFi Stadium to sing for more than 110 million Super Bowl viewers, what was going through your head? It was the most nervous I've ever been. I felt like I was about to give birth for the first time or walk down the aisle and get married to the wrong guy. It's really hard right now with what's going on in this country. I wanted to be proud of singing the national anthem. In 2020, he released the song Black Like Me, a condemnation of racial inequality. How do you think it changed or didn't change race dynamics in country music? Well, there's a lot more black country artists that have loved the genre but didn't think there was a space for them that are now migrating to Nashville. What is the significance of your new song, I Still Pray? I wrote this song after the shooting at that grocery store in Buffalo in May. I was so affected by it. This song has an importance because I literally don't have the answers. The song is a message of whoever you believe in, help us right now because we need it. How has motherhood informed your creative process? I can sing about heartbreak, which I'm great at, But having a child really changes your whole perspective of everything. Our souls picked each other, and he's going to continue on when I'm going to be gone. I'm thinking a lot about that in my songwriting now. I'm singing about love because that's what I'm surrounded by in the end.
It was late in December, the sky turned to snow. All around the day was going down slow. Night like a river beginning to flow. I felt the beat of my mind.
Al Stewart's Time Passages introduces our music research and technology article titled Time Flies By Faster As We Get Older. Here's why. There's a reason our perception of time changes as we age, but there are ways to make it feel slower. This is written by Jillian Wilson on the 16th of December, 2022, HuffPost.com. For many people, 2022 went by in a blink. Doesn't it feel like it was just January? But for others, especially children, last year's holidays may seem like eons ago. There's a reason why you may feel like the years moved slowly when you were a kid, but zoom by now. Experts say our perception of time greatly changes as we age, which makes certain periods feel like they go by quickly. Our perception of days, weeks, years, and that kind of time seems to be especially influenced by our perspective. As we in the moment experience it, or are we looking backward on time, said Cindy Lustig, a professor of psychology at the University of Michigan. She added that the perception of time is also influenced by memory and how much you've experienced. For an 8-year-old, a week is a big portion of their life. For an 80-year-old, a week is a much smaller portion of their life, which contributes to the feeling that it went by quickly. A day in the life of a retired 80-year-old may feel like it's going by more slowly than that of an 8-year-old who is busy at school. However, when both people look back on a month or a year, that period of time will seem like it went by faster to the older person. This is for a number of reasons. For the 80-year-old, their life probably doesn't look too different than it did when they were 78 or 79. So, in that case, they're looking back on fewer events, Lustig said. When you're looking back, the less rich your representation is, the more it's going to seem like the time went by quickly. In other words, our brains lump time together when the days or weeks are similar. So for an 80-year-old who largely does the same thing every day, the year is going to blend together in their mind and feel like it went by quickly. The new and exciting things in a day are what make the days and months feel different and thus set them apart in our minds. Changes to your routine can also affect how fast the years seem to go by. Our brains are designed to record change, said Austin Bejean, a professor of mechanical engineering at Duke University and the author of the recent book, Time and Beauty, Why Time Flies and Beauty Never Dies. The many experiences young children have in a day contribute to the notion that time is more plentiful and more activities can fit into that time. Therefore, when looking back, time may feel slower.
Out of sight, our time passages. Buy me a ticket on the last train home tonight.
This can apply to adults too. When we look back on a time period that was filled with lots of new experiences, we see a large expanse of events and memories, and it makes it seem like time stretches out, and it feels very long, Lustig said. If you're not introducing new patterns into your life, time can feel like it's going by much quicker overall. How we process images can also influence how we view time, Bejean said. Our brains are trained to receive many images when we are infants. Because we're absorbing so many new images as kids, it may feel like months and years are longer. In other words, there are physiological factors at play that influence our perception of time. Namely, the older we get, the faster it feels. Bejean said that many older people ask him how they can slow down time, because everybody wants to live longer and has the urge to do more and better things with the time that's available. He said one way to do this is to experience things that are new and out of your usual regimen. This could mean picking up a childhood hobby like dancing, or, for our musical connection here, a violin, taking an overnight trip to a city you've never visited, or signing up for a cooking class. Learning new things is another way to make your time feel longer when you look back on your life, he said. Bejean stressed the adage, variety is the spice of life. You should get out of your routine and take advantage of the time you have, which will only help make you feel like you've had more time to fill, he said. Living a routine-only life makes the year fly really fast, he added. Lustig noted that being fully engaged and in the moment can make those moments seem to last longer. In fact, laboratory studies show that mindfulness exercises can stretch our perception of time, she said. So don't try to focus on multiple tasks at once. Instead, just focus on the experience at hand. None of us know how much time we have, but interestingly, we do actually have a lot of control over how we experience that time, Lustig said. So I encourage everybody to make the most of the time we've got.
특별한 것들 말 때문에 마음에 상처를 내놓고 미안하단 말 한마디 없지도 날 혼자 위로하고 오늘 하루도 혹시나 떠날까 늘 불안해해 Just want you to stay.
Blackpink Stay introduces our rock and pop music news. It's the Time Entertainer of the Year Award. Global Superstars Blackpink. This is written by Risa Bruner in Time Magazine on the 26th of December, 2022. The warehouse in Los Angeles is cold and drafty. Transform this November day into a photo shoot dreamland for Jennie, Jisoo, Lisa, and Rosé, the four members of Blackpink. Cement floors sprout into fairy tale garden, and a glossy vintage station wagon is parked next to a man-made hill. For nearly 12 hours, the performers, some of the most popular women in the world, gamely hit their poses. In the evening, huddled up with fuzzy blankets over bare legs in front of a makeshift plywood backdrop, they seemed less like superstars than best friends unwinding. We put in a lot of work so we could look like superwomen, says Jennie. We're very normal girls at the end of the day. Normal as they may be, their 2022 has been anything but. They appeared at the VMAs in August, performing their hit single, Pink Venom, and on stage during their latest blockbuster world tour, which kicked off in October and will hit 27 cities over 9 months. Shows sold out in minutes and were attended by tens of thousands of fans, including celebrities like Selena Gomez and Usher. The foursome realized its highly anticipated second studio album, Born Pink, in September, which notched a record as the best-selling album by a Korean girl group with over 2 million album sales. It continues to dominate on YouTube, where Blackpink is the biggest musical with over 83 million subscribers to their act.
Hey,
So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, what percent of Americans make a New Year's resolution? Is it A, just over 25%, B, just under 50%, C, about 75%, or D, virtually everyone? Correct answer, well, as noted in LifeProtect247.com, 2022 article, Wallet Hub has lots of fun facts about how people mark the calendar turning to a new year, including, despite the hype, only 15% of Americans spend New Year's Eve at a party or a public event. In the U.S., 45% of people ring in the new year with friends and family, while 24% prefer to stay at home, and 3% don't celebrate at all. Those who head to the famous Times Square party throw 1.5 tons of confetti. The trash generated takes 300 sanitation workers 15 to 16 hours to clean up. The four most popular types of goals people aspire to are exercise, eat well, lose weight, and save money. And an average of 44% of Americans make a New Year's resolution before the night is over. Correct answer, therefore, is answer B, just under 50%. And by the way, only 31% of people actually stick with the promises they made to themselves the prior year, with a whopping 81% failing by February. And as noted in RealBuzz.com, some unusual New Year's resolutions include visit 5 interesting places in the new year, break a personal record, learn something you never learned as a child, try a new food each month, make the usual unusual. It's easy to get into a rut where we do the same things day in and day out with our days passing us by as a routine-filled blur. Next year, spice up your routine by vowing to do one small thing differently each day or week or month. Make a new friend a month. Fact is, friends are great for your health, and the more you have of them, the better. And then finally, do something nice for others every day. Many of our resolutions, these included, are inwardly focused, concentrating on ways to become thinner, healthier, wealthier people. However, while there is nothing wrong with improving yourself, it's worth remembering there's a whole world out there, too. Next year, why not make a resolution to focus outwards instead and help make the world a better place? Plan to do one nice thing a day for someone else, whether it's something small like giving a compliment or something potentially life-saving like donating blood or sponsoring a child in need. By knowing you're making a difference, you will also indirectly boost your own happiness and sense of achievement. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day back in which year that Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians played Auld Lang Syne as a New Year's Eve song for the very first time. Was it A, 1915, B, 1929, C, 1940, or D, 1958? Correct answer. Answer B, 1929. As noted in the 2021 AmericanSongwriter.com article titled Behind the Song Lyrics, you'd be hard-pressed to find a song with the same stature and staying power as the Scottish traditional Auld Lang Syne, known in America as the definitive song for New Year's Eve. It's actually popular all over the world in a variety of contexts, from Dutch sucker songs to Japanese graduation songs to an older version of the Korean national anthem. Yet most folks probably feel pretty similar to Billy Crystal's character in When Harry Met Sally and said, what does this song mean anyway? To find the answer to that question, we'll go back to the first major documentation of the song, Robert Burns' 1793 letter to his friend George Thompson. Seeking to document this slice of Scottish culture, he wrote down the lyrics to the tune and described it as an old song of the olden times, which has never been in print, until I took it down from an old man singing. The tune served as a personification of Scottish heritage in an era marked by the encroachment of English culture. Thus we sing the words Auld Lang Syne in place of their literal English translation, Old Long Since, which would more accurately translate to For the Sake of Old Times. The song is, in short, an ode to the old times and a hopeful look to a more good times ahead. Whether sung to mark the end of an era or merely sung at the end of a good night of drinking, its message is as simple as it is powerful. Remember the good times, and here's hoping for more. So that essentially answers Billy Crystal's question, but how did it become known as the New Year's Eve song? To answer that, we'll take a little trip to 1929 to listen to Guy Lombardo's New Year's Eve broadcast, in which he and his band, the Royal Canadians, performed a rendition of the tune as the clock struck midnight. Liking the sentiment, Lombardo decided to make it a tradition. So countless households year after year listened to Auld Lang Syne as they said goodbye to the past year and hello to the new one. Lombardo continued the tradition until he died in 1977. And picking up the mantle, Dick Clark opted to use it as his midnight song when he started broadcasting his New Year's Rockin' Eve in the early 1970s. When Ryan Seacrest took over that broadcast in the early 2000s, he, of course, continued the tradition. So to this day, thanks to the efforts of Robert Burns, Guy Lombardo, Dick Clark, Ryan Seacrest, and countless generations of Scots, music lovers and partygoers, the song remains a treasured tradition for millions around the world. And when you raise your glass this year to the end of 2022 and the beginning of 2023, now you can know just how many folks through the annals of history stand with you for Auld Lang Syne. So let's close out today's program with that song, Auld Lang Syne. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature, please give me a call at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson. Music Review underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos since 1968. Phone him at 919-779-1755 for an appointment.